It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Todd Surprise hanging out with us here today as well. It's Phone Friday, and you know when it's Phone Friday, we have my partner, the man, sitting right across from me here. Kirk Elliott joins us on Fridays. Kirk, how you doing, my friend? You doing all right?
Yeah, doing well. Getting into the meat of the season here. We got racing just about every night, don't
we? Man, I mean, if you're a racing junkie, this is the time of season that you can really get into it, especially if you're like me and stay home and watch them. You know, I want to get out to the races, and I'm going to get out to the races. Like next week, I'm going to go both nights to the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour race out at Lakeside Speedway. I'm going to go out there.
I-70.
What did I say, Lakeside?
Yeah.
I-70 Speedway, right? Not Lakeside. I-70 Speedway. I think I might even take the motorhome out there.
That'd be a good place to take it.
Hang out there with my friends that I haven't seen in such a long time.
You're going to have it all fixed by then.
It'll be all ready to go.
Finally.
I've got the awning fixed on it and everything. I'm going to sneeze, Kirk. Cover.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you were going to take it to Knoxville this weekend, but still got a few things to get worked out on.
A couple things I got to get done before I go up there. But I still have thought about just driving up there. But, you know, the problem is, Kirk, and as you know, and you know as well as anybody, you get up there and you try to drive home after that, and it's a 3.5-hour drive home to Kansas City. It's a little too much, really.
I've done it many times.
I know it.
It can be done.
I can't even count how many times I've had to drive 300 miles after a race, after doing a broadcast, and then have to drive overnight to get to the next town.
Well, that truck race is not going to last till midnight, so
that'll
end up early enough to where you get back in decent shape.
You never know. It could end up at midnight. You don't know. Kirk, we really got to start off with some sad news, don't we, today? Unfortunately, the news has gotten out that Clint Bowyer was involved in a deadly car accident that killed a young lady that was 47 years old. She was walking down the highway. Clint Bowyer was coming home from Gateway, I believe, and he struck this lady. Her name was Mary Jane Simmons of Cammington, Missouri. She was 47 years old. And it has been told that she was intoxicated on some kind of drugs. And they said that they found some methamphetamine on her when she was struck. And where do you start on this, Kurt? First of all, it's sad that, you know, mentally, if you hit somebody in a car and it kills them, that would have to be so devastating to you as a person.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it, you've taken another person's life and how much that would bother you, knowing that you didn't have really anything to do with it. She was walking along the highway there, and
it was dark late after 9 o'clock at night.
It was 9 o'clock at night. It was dark, whatever happened, we're not clear. We don't have all the details of the report yet, but it sounds like that Clint Bowyer was not at fault in this accident, right?
Yeah, he was just driving along, minding his own business. We've all had close calls with pedestrians. I know you have. I have. Somebody on a bicycle riding along, you don't see him.
Right.
I've had a couple of close calls. So this kind of incident can happen. And Clint just minding his own business, driving home from the race at Gateway, and had this terrible accident.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, gosh, you feel so bad for him, you know. And, you know, we go back a long ways with Clint Bowyer. You know, back in the day, we remember when he was such a standout star here at Lakeside, Thunderhill, and I-70 Speedway, winning championships at all three of those racetracks. In fact, that's what made me decide to put him in my mod. You know, a lot of people always think about with the Bowyer deal that his first race driving for me was in that ARCA car, but that wasn't the case. His first race driving for me was driving at I-70 Speedway in the World Cup 100, driving my modified. He qualified second, and he ended up running third because we broke a sway bar bolt during the race. But and then we went down to Moberly and run second to Carl Edwards down there. This is before Carl and Clint both made it to NASCAR. So, you know, we've had a great relationship. Went down to Nashville when he won the regional championship. We went down there and hung out with him as well. And then we also did the ARCA car for a couple races, and we know what that turned out to be. That was a big break for Clint to make it to NASCAR. So, but I feel very, very bad for Clint right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for him, to be honest
with
you.
Very understandable. He was not on the broadcast at, you know, with Fox on Sunday out in Sonoma. You know, we were all worried, concerned about where was Clint. Boy, or something's going on.
Right.
And I'm surprised that this hole was held under wraps for 11 days. In this world, that I'm shocked by that.
That is a miracle that we just hear about it yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It was the first time last night. First time we heard about it was yesterday, though.
Right.
You know, I got a text earlier in the day from somebody. I think it was Lloyd, maybe, that sent that to me. And then I also got it from you as well. Austin, your thoughts about this. It's kind of sad when somebody else kind of, I don't know if she stepped out in front of him or what happened, but, man, if you take somebody else's life and you hit him, that would feel terrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of goes back to Tony Stewart's accident with Kevin Ward, you know, years ago. So,
right.
It's unfortunate.
Well, that's a little bit different deal.
Yeah, but it's still kind of the same reality, I guess.
Yeah, when you hit somebody and kill them,
It's not good. It's unfortunate, but, you know, if you kind of read the report, it says she was walking down the on-ramp, and, you know, 9 o'clock is, you know, dark time, you know, as we all know around here.
And if she was high on meth or something, she might be staggering along and stepped right out in front of him. You don't know.
I mean, I hate to get into it, but the report on the Fox 4 said there was heavy damage to the left side of Boyer's car.
Windshield and whatnot.
I mean, it wiped his car out. So, I mean, if it's that dark, you probably thought maybe you hit a deer, then you get out and you see it's a person. It's not something you expect, but just it's not a good thing to be talking about, I guess.
I think it's probably a good thing that Clint, that was the last race for Fox, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sonoma race.
So now he doesn't have to go out publicly and be in front of a bunch of faces and a bunch of people and have to answer a bunch of questions. He can kind of maybe go down to the lake and hide out for a little bit and just stay down there and just enjoy the lake for a little bit and try to get this off his mind, because that would be such a just a heavy stigma to take in. And Todd, you want to jump in on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, that hitting somebody or seeing that act, just seeing that. If you guys remember, on our way home from the Tulsa shootout one night, I came across the person that got hit on the highway. Remember?
I remember that.
It affected me for 2 full days after that. You know that
just the vision.
I nearly hit that guy. The emergency workers had not gotten there yet.
Right.
The emergency workers were backing up the highway from the closest exit, and there was stuff strewn out all the highway, and the diesel, the 18-wheeler, had actually hit this guy trying to cross the highway.
So it was really ugly.
And I was swerving around some parts off of a car, or what I thought was a car, and turned out they were bags. This guy was pushing a grocery cart across the highway.
Oh, no.
And the diesel clipped him and hit him, and I slowed down to probably 45. You know that big, I can't remember what the highway that hit.
That wasn't pretty.
And I nearly hit that person, and like you said, that affects you for, you know, I was up for, we get home at 2 a.m. on that deal. I was up till 4 a.m. and heck the next day, so I can't imagine being involved. You know, that's gonna take a toll on, like everybody's saying, that'll live with him for quite some time, you know.
Well, yeah, just knowing, because she died on the scene, by the way.
Yes,
right.
So when you know that the person is deceased,
that's it,
and you're sitting there waiting for an ambulance to get there,
that can't be
good mentally for anybody. Anybody that would be in that kind of situation, I would think.
Well, we really feel for the young lady's family, and of course,
absolutely,
Clint, having to deal, you know, get through this very tragic situation
for everybody involved.
We wish the best for everybody involved.
It was terrible, man. I just hope Clint can get through it. And Clint, I know that you're probably not watching the show, but if you are, we're with you, buddy.
Yeah.
And we hope that you get through this okay.
I think
so,
like you
we're pulling for you, man. And we know that it's that's a tough deal to be in, and anybody that would take anybody else's life, accidentally or not, that would be. I just can't get my head around it, man. It'd be such a sad thing to happen, to do to somebody, even if it's an accident. Gosh, just the thought of that is just balls me up a little bit.
We'd been concerned for Clint ever since he didn't show up on the broadcast at Fox last weekend. You know, we all knew something is going on. We just didn't know what.
Right.
And I think for his sake, to have all these details not come out until last night, I think that's good for him, because had this broke the next day, there would have been all kinds of questions out there.
It would have been all over the broadcast.
All the questions had been answered. Yeah. This way, we have all the questions answered before it got released, and I think that's good for Clint.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to check everybody checking in. We appreciate it. There's Marvin. He's checking in from Ohio, and Mel's checking in. Tammy's there as well. So is Steve. I don't know why my phone rings when I turn the ringer down. Why does that happen? It rings after I turn the ringer down.
Don't they know you're on the air?
I don't know who it is. I have no idea who it is. Anyway, Tammy's checking in. We can always count on Tammy. Chris is hanging out with us, my neighbor up the street. Lloyd Collins hanging out with us as well. Kansas City loves Clint Boyer. That's what Chris Yon says, and that is a true statement. He's the hometown boy. Even though he's from Emporia, people, because he's such a Kansas City fan, right? Because he's such a Royals fan and a Chiefs fan, people identify with him. And he's, you know what Clint has going for him maybe more than anybody? He's blue collar. And I think, you know, the one person that really identified as a blue collar person was Dale Earnhardt. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, I would agree with you about that.
Do you think
Dale Jr. much the same way?
Dale Jr. much the same way, but don't you believe that Clint Boyer falls in that mold as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Relates to the blue-collar guy.
People, yeah.
People.
He likes to yuck it up and have a beer with him, hang out with Blake Shelton.
Well, unfortunately, this is no yuck-it-up time here.
No, it isn't.
We just, again, we certainly wish Clint the best working through all this and thinking about the family of this lady, too. So,
yeah, and just so you know, that they did a breathalyzer, and Dave just, he posted this up. He passed with flying colors, zeros.
Yeah, he hadn't been drinking. And I wouldn't expect anything different.
Right.
Out of Clint. Be right honest with you.
Yeah. Wonder why he wasn't flying home in his plane.
Well, it's not that far to St. Louis. You know, it's a two, three-hour drive from St. Louis down to the Lake
of
the Ozarks.
But it's about a 30-minute fly in his plane, I would think. Wouldn't you think?
Maybe it was just easier to jump in the car at the racetrack and
get
drive
out
back
there.
To the Ozarks.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, no farther than it is.
Maybe that's the case. Did you guys get to watch a little racing last night?
We did. How about that All-Star race out? The Sprint Week has been fabulous this week. Great racing for the All-Stars.
Excellent, isn't it?
In Ohio Sprint Week, and last night was no different.
What'd you guys think of that track last night? Austin, let's drag you in here. That track took a little rubber last night, though, didn't it?
Yeah, after watching the replay of it again, you can notice it coming off of, you know, it wasn't rubber getting in. You could run in and be on the cushion, but about center off, it was rubber to a cushion, and it wasn't. I mean, you could see it, you know, later in the race as Brent Marks got tied off at 2 once, and I mean, it was right in the middle of the black, so you knew something was off. And but with it kind of being patchy, you guys could race, you know, into the bottom on the entry, and grab a little bit of what was left down there on the bottom and get a run, but. The moment that rubber, you know, got excessive, it just took advantage of the racing.
And you heard the drivers talk about it. Tyler Courtney, Justin Peck, Brent Marks were your top three. Hunter Schoenberg and Bill Balog were your top five. I don't know. Right now, I'm going to go down here and look. Right now, if you look at the Speed Week standings, Justin Peck is still on top. He's got a pretty good lead. He's up about 60 points right now. Tyler Courtney is third. Danny Dietrich is fourth. And Zeb Wise is fifth. Zeb had a right rear flat last night. Did you see that? Anybody yeah. see that?
I didn't catch that part. I caught about every other part to that, but he's
had, still finished 10th.
He's had a good night, then you have a bad night.
Let me Let me ask anybody else here real quick. Was I the only one having audio problems with the Flow broadcast last night with the All-Stars? Because my audio was... You didn't watch it live, did you, Kurt?
No, I watched the replay. There was no audio on the replay that I watched late last night.
And when I watched it, my audio was cutting in and out.
Hmm.
Was anybody else's audio cutting in and out? Because for me, it was. I finally just had to turn it off because it was annoying to me.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if it was. I don't know if it was my computer that was having the problem or if it was the broadcast. So I need somebody else to tell me if they had audio issues during that A main last night.
All I can tell you, the video that I watched was just fine. So
right,
been 2 months since Tyler Courtney had won a race. He ended a long dry spell last night.
That's kind of crazy. Just to think about that, right? Defending champion of the All-Stars, winning his first race.
But somehow he's still leading the overall point standing.
Oh, that's true, right?
He just hadn't won for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's leading the point standings right now. All-Star Circuit of Champions driver standings. Tyler Courtney is leading. Justin Peck is second. Cap Henry is third. Parker Price Miller is fourth. And Hunter Schoenberg is in fifth right now. Those are your top five with the All-Stars. Then it goes Zeb Wise, Bill Balog, Corey Eliason, Kyle Reinhart, and Chris Windham. Those are your top ten in the points right now.
But I think it's been very entertaining watching these races this week.
You know, isn't it funny that Tyler Courtney just won his first race, and Brad Sweet has only won one race this year, right?
Well, Courtney's won four races this year.
Oh,
but he hasn't.
It's just his first
but he's
one
not won in
while.
2 months.
Oh, that's right. I've got that right here in my notes.
His first Speed Week win of the year.
Yeah, that was. I should have read my notes right there. That is his fourth win of the year, right?
Let's see. I was just going to go back to see when the last time he had won a feature event on the All Stars. And you got to go all the way back to April, the last time that he won a race. I'm looking at Attica, back on April the 15th, the last time he had won a feature event.
Wow.
Quite a while ago.
He
swept the two nights at Attica that weekend. So, but he has not won since.
Right. Well, I had the notes right here. I just wasn't looking at them.
Nothing new.
Hey, that is not true.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Right. I sit here and study as much as anybody.
No, I know you do.
Yeah.
We were talking one day this week, and we started talking about the All-Star race, and you switched right into the USAC race.
Well, hey, listen, when you get old, bud, wait till you're 62 and your mind gets
a
little sponge.
Well, I get to take advantage of you right now.
You are. You're only 19.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm taking advantage of you right now.
You know, there's a lot of races going on at the same time if you're flipping around different screens like you are down in the studio watching four or five different screens. It's hard to keep track of it all.
Austin, you wouldn't take advantage of me on a racetrack, I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, okay.
Because hey, you'd be on your lid if you took advantage of me on a racetrack.
They're building a new K1 speed indoor karting track in Lee Summit next year. So are you trying to say that the racing boys need to have a studio
for
race?
For a big old fat boy, I'll give you all you can handle on a go-kart track. All
right.
I'm just saying. Just ask Blake Hahn. There was a group of us that used to go out. There was 10 of us that would go, 10 or 12 of us, we'd go out. And they were all sprint car drivers, micro drivers, a lot of good race car drivers. And every time we would go out there, out of the 12 or 10 or 12 of them that would go, I was always fourth, fastest. I don't know how. It's just, you know, I was a pavement racer all my life, and I just know how to not to scrub speed. You know what I mean? And so you might be a little bit surprised.
All right. So when
you ask Blake Kahn if I can drive a go-kart or not.
All right. When K1 Speed opens up, we're all going to go
Where's that at?
Lee Summit, they said.
What happened to the other one that used to be out there?
The one down there in Raytown?
No, there was one out there.
Saddlers?
Saddlers.
What? Yeah, well, that closed a while ago, and then they opened up the one in Raytown, and Raytown's now closing. So we just got one, which will be K1 here next summer, next fall.
And where's that going to be at? What building?
It's somewhere in Lee Summit, that's all I can tell you.
Right.
It's a new building they're going to build.
Well...
Are these places just like a fad? They're popular for a while and then they just kind of die off, or?
Well, I mean, the one in Raytown, that was not the best place to put it. I'll just say that.
What, was it not in a grocery store?
I mean, it was in a grocery store, but it was just in the heart of Raytown, and
where they need to put it? They need to put it right up here at this Kmart up here at Vivian and Antioch.
Now let's open it up.
Right.
They had one in Olathe.
Open up anything, it's going to be
a great tavern.
I'm going to open up a little tavern if I open
with
up
that anything. Location, we'd be there all the time.
Spend all our money there.
No, I wouldn't be.
They had one in Olathe at the old Kmart as well, an indoor go.
Did they?
Yeah, and it's closed down too. I think another problem is once the maintenance comes involved in those go-karts,
right,
to where you happen to like... The cost starts going. You know,
you get idiots like me out there want to beat and bang.
If you watch TikTok at all and you watch any of those indoor karting races, I'm amazed that the insurance is able to pay out on some of these injuries because it's amazing.
You remember how mad Kevin Kiesman got at me that one year when I spun him out on the last lap? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he wasn't very happy about it either.
He was so mad. He went on the air and just barked about it. Remember that?
I wasn't happy when you ran into the back of me.
I spun you out too, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of a dirty driver, you know that?
Well, so? What's wrong with that?
The bad thing about the one down there in Raytown, it was electric powered, so you can control it all by remote. So if the moment you laid on somebody, if you got
loose,
they'd
kill your car.
You're done. And they would slow you down for two or three laps, and then they'd fire you back up. But they always knew when the sprint car guys and their painted up helmets walked in that they meant business, and they usually were going to turn us down at some point.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because we'd all walk in with our own helmets, and that's the first sign of trouble.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that means you mean business when you walk in with your own helmets.
Right.
We had a good time out there at Saddler's with Clint Boyer one time. Remember that?
We did.
Back, this was before he really got into NASCAR. Don't you remember that?
I've hit too many walls. I cannot remember shit anymore. It's terrible. I don't know why I'm that way, but I guess I'm just punchy. All right, Chris Yant says, I want to go with you guys when you go, Scott. So we'll take you, Chris, for sure. My neighbor right up the street on the corner. So we'll definitely do that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to shoot the bull. The phone lines are open, folks. Phone lines are open. Don't let me down and not call us, right? It's Phone Friday. What do we do on Phone Friday? You call in on the show. I don't care what you want to talk about. You want to talk about something that's on TV. You want to talk about some music. I don't care what you want to talk about. It doesn't matter. But we're here, and the phones are open. And you can get in when we come back at 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. More of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott. He's Kirk. We're the Racing Boys. Austin O'Neill, Todd Surprise, hanging out with us, running the show today here at Racing Boys HQ. Where do you want to go next, Kirk? What do you want to talk about? Anything in particular?
They had sprint car races up in Iowa last night. The Sprint Invaders at Eldon Raceway. That's an old racetrack that I used to go to back in the day, but I don't think they race there very often. It was the Wapello County Fair. That's not that far from Ottumwa.
Yeah.
And Riley Goodnow picks up his first Sprint Invaders win last night. A program that didn't get over with till 1 o'clock in the morning.
My
now, why
gosh.
They were running so late up there last night, I have no idea, but congratulations to Riley Goodnow. Big win for him.
And the USAC National Midgets got rained out at Sealings Grove last night.
Yeah,
too,
that was disappointing. Yeah. So, but they'll be back in action at Williams Grove Speedway tonight, Port Royal tomorrow night, and Bloomsburg on Sunday.
Yeah.
Three big events there for the non-wing sprint cars.
To go along with Port Royal tomorrow night, they'll have the USAC Silver Crown cars there, too.
Oh, they are going to run the Silver Crown cars there.
For their, I believe, their debut at the Port Royal Speedway. Kaylee Bryson's going to make her Silver Crown debut tomorrow night in the Aaron Peters 26.
Is that right?
It is.
Wow. How about that?
That'll be something to watch. Silver Crown cars on Port Royal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's can't miss.
Yep, and Logan Seavey picked up the last win there at Bridgeport Motorsports Park, and that was a pretty good race, if I do say so myself. Brady Bacon is doing what he does. But, man, when it comes to national USAC national sprint cars, how many rainouts have they had here recently? They had one at Circle City. They rained out two nights at Circle City. Then they got two nights in. They got one night in at Grandview, and then at Bridgeport. Then they got rained out again at Sealings Grove. So they haven't had much luck here lately.
Not too much. Hopefully it cooperates here for the rest of the weekend.
Right.
I mean, there are always big nights of racing whenever you go to Williams Grove and Port Royal Speedway. So hopefully it all cooperates here these next two nights.
Lyman Land is where the All-Stars are going to be running tonight, right?
Yep, and they got Portsmouth on Saturday night to wind up the Ohio Sprint Speedway. Not much rain problems there. I think they've gotten all those races in, have they not?
I think they have. Do you think that $6,000 is enough? Don't they normally pay $10,000 to win on those races on their typical races, $10,000? Or is it $6,000?
I believe it's $6,000 to win is their baseline. You're kind of saying, does that pay enough? It's on the low side of it. Knoxville pays $5,000 to win every week for the 410s,
right.
And then the Outlaws pay $10,000 to win on their baseline races, and the All-Stars pay $6,000. I mean, it's on the lower side of paying well for 410s, but it's a lot better than what it could be.
Yeah.
But you're a racer, Austin. It never pays enough to win for you drivers, does it?
No, never, but there's a point.
As long as you can cover your bills.
Yeah, I mean, when you can go to the races, and it usually costs a 360 team anywhere about $700 or so to unload. It might be a little bit off, but and you can come home with broke even or a little bit extra. It's always nice.
Right. The Dean Kittle Memorial at Ohio Speed Weeks, that's tomorrow night. That's going to pay $20,554 to win.
Yeah, that was one of the races on our list that I made for you yesterday we talked about.
Right.
Not a bad payday to end Speed Week. If you can knock out a couple wins and then pick up the championship and that last race at Portsmouth, that's going to be a pretty good week for you if you don't tear anything up.
Right. $20,000 to win, that's a pretty good payday. So, and then if you look past that at Lernerville, the very next race after Portsmouth, at Lernerville, they're going to pay $25,000 to win at that race.
The Don Martin Memorial Silver Cup, which used to be a World of Outlaws event, is now an All-Star event, and they're having it earlier in the month than they traditionally have had it at Lernerville. So a lot different for the Don Martin Memorial Silver Cup this year.
And then they go up to New York. What is that? Ransomville? Is that what that is? Anyway, and they're going to pay $12,000 to win right there. So there's three really good races in a row, right? Portsmouth, Lernerville, and Ransom. Is that how you pronounce that, Kurt?
Ransomville.
Yeah, Ransomville. Yeah. Up in the New York State, another race that pays $12,000 to win.
And then, of course, later in the year, you got the Tuscara 50 at Port Royal Speedway, big three-night event in September, and they pay a ton of money for that event.
Are you guys looking forward to the All-Star race out at I-70 Speedway, two-day show?
Absolutely.
28th and the 29th of July. That's going to be a good one.
They had it out there last year.
Yeah. And on the second night of I-70, and this is just a side note, we're talking about the amount of money they're paying. The second night at I-70 Speedway, they're going to pay $26,000 to win. Did you know that?
I was not aware of that.
$26,000 awesome. To win at I-70 Speedway on the second night.
That's going to be a big event. I'm looking forward to the...
Is there anybody out there that we can borrow a 410 so we can put it in Austin's car?
Well, hold on. You keep talking to me about trying to buy a 410.
I know.
We can get a 410.
You can?
We can get one.
Yeah.
But
$1,500 a night.
Who wants to cover the tire bill for me when I gotta go 410 racing? Because I got to sell all of my mediums, all of my RD12 left rears, to buy H12 left rears.
All right,
H15 right rears.
Slow down, Austin. Pump the brakes just a second. So we need somebody to give us a 410 motor and some tires.
I mean, I don't understand why USAC. Thinking about USAC.
All Stars.
No.
What?
410 and Hoosier can't come together and get, and all the touring series, we'll just say right. All the touring series and Hoosier can't come together and get one tire that we can run. So now, if I want to go run a 410 race, I don't have to go out there
it's
and spend
the
thousands
tire.
Of right. dollars in buying new right. tires.
Right. But if somebody was to come up with a 410 and some tires, you'd go run that race, wouldn't you?
I would, but
yeah,
that's not, you know, a far-fetched idea.
What you're saying is, Austin, it's hard to go back and forth from 360 to 410 just from an expense standpoint.
No, it just financially it is.
Yeah,
right?
that's what Kirk said. I mean, yeah. you're expecting teams to only run mediums with ASCS and have to go out and buy H15s for 410 racing, and then your left rears, you know, some 360 cars run H12 left rears, but a lot of the teams prefer the RD12, so now you're going to go out there and buy...
Same front tires, though, right?
Yes, fronts are useless, really, but... You know, now you have to go out there and buy, you know, left rears and right rears, and, you know, $300 for a right rear, $400 for a left rear, it's $700 for a set, and you buy four sets, and that's $2,800 you're sitting on.
Mm, I see.
It's only money, Austin.
if it grew on trees, I'd be a millionaire.
Well, you know, there's a lot of us that think like that, you know? You know, it just takes time, Austin. You know, you'll get there eventually.
No, I know.
You'll make your share of money.
You know, you mentioned me.
You told me, you said, Austin told me one day, you know, I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
He does.
He does.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've probably forgotten more than Austin knows. Just so you know.
Well, because you're old.
Because I'm old. I'm
not
old.
Not as old as me, though.
I'm definitely old.
You know, you're talking about these all-star races out at I-70. Next month. How about next weekend with the Lucas Oil ASCS Car Dirt Series? This is one of the big events for the Lucas Oil National Tour that we've seen for a while. It should be two big nights of racing out here.
Speaking of the National Tour, I don't know if we saw any of the press releases or announcements from this weekend's races at Texarkana and...
No tires.
Yeah, what's the other one? What track are they going to tomorrow?
Texarkana and...
Is it Arklatex?
It doesn't matter. There's no tires.
None available.
Who's your Mid-South or whatever the distributor down there has no tires.
So you got to bring your tires with you.
Well, you have to, but, you know, Terry said they're going to run the sprint cars first and then keep up on the track prep. And, I mean, yeah.
Hopefully that'll keep from burning up
hopefully,
tires.
Hopefully, but, you know, you get some dirt that's abrasive or you're racing at Monette. I'm not sure what those tracks are like.
I stand corrected.
If you're like Monette, you're at a graveyard.
Let him finish,
or a
Kirk.
Junkyard.
Yeah. All right, Kirk. Now you can.
I got to get this in.
Kirk likes to wheel people when they're talking.
It's Boot Hill Speedway.
Yeah, Boot Hill.
Supposed to be tomorrow night in Greenwood, Louisiana.
All right.
After Texarkana tonight.
You know what? You know what? Track promoters need to do. Track promoters, not the promoters, but the touring series. When a touring series comes into that racetrack, they need to be more in tune with the racetrack and the track prep that goes along with it. If they don't like what they're seeing out there, then they need to get in there and start dictating on how they should be doing the racetrack. Would you agree with that, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, you know?
I mean, why would you not? If we're in such a dire straits with these tires right now, why would you not get in there and dictate what you should do with the track prep? Right? Tell him to come on. Yeah, he wants you to come.
they're paying good money down there at these two races this weekend too, are they not?
I mean, $3,000 and $4,000 all right.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I thought it was more than that.
No, ASCS, that's about their range, $3,000-$4,000.
If it's a two-night show, you'll see three on the first night, four on the next night.
Right. All right, let's go to the phones. I believe this is Chris calling in. Hey, Chris.
What's up, guys?
What's up, brother? What are you doing?
Oh, nothing. Listen to you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I was curious. Yep. Any of you guys know that Tyler Carpenter that won the late model race indoors at St. Louis last year, he's supposed to have a truck ride tomorrow night. Anybody know if he's up there?
Do you know anything about that, Kurt?
I don't know, but I can take a look at the entry list and see if there. He is.
He's going to be
don't have it pulled
he's
up
driving
right
for
this
Nice
minute,
Motorsports.
Hold on, Kirk. Austin's already got the answer. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, he's driving for Nice Motorsports. They have the 41 truck already wrapped for, and ready to go.
Who's the sponsor? Do you know?
Aggressive, like I think it's Aggressive Signs and Wraps. It's who does a lot of race car wraps out in Illinois. That's who was on his car at the Gateway race. And that's the 41 truck for Nice Motorsports that he'll be in. Teammates to Carson Hosafar.
There you go. Austin knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
All right, guys. I was just curious.
All right. Are you going up there this weekend, Chris?
Oh, no, no, no.
How's your back, bud? How's your back doing?
Oh, it's, you know, I got good days and bad days.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I'm hanging in there.
You know, I see you trying to overdo it sometimes out there in that yard.
Yeah.
You need to quit doing that. You're old, Chris. I don't know if you know that.
A little older than you.
Huh?
A little older than you.
Well, I'm 62. How old are you?
I'm 61.
I'm older than you then.
Well, I thought you was 59.
No, I'm 62 years old.
Oh, okay, so I'm right behind you there.
Yeah, you're pulling up the caboose.
You'll never catch up.
You'll never catch me either, by the way. All right, Chris, thanks for calling in, brother.
All right, guys, have a good day.
All right, there you have it. Phone lines are open, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. Come on, call in on the show. Don't be scared. Come on.
Now, they're going to have two practice sessions for the trucks tonight at Knoxville. And then tomorrow night, they're going to run, they have qualifying before they run the races. And they are running multiple, not just the 150-lap race, main event, but they'll have four heat races to precede the main event tomorrow night to set up the field for the 150-lap race at Knoxville, the Clean Harbors 150.
They're going to practice, you said? Is that right?
Two practice sessions tonight.
At what time is that? Is that going to be on Fox? Or is that going to be on TV?
It is not, that what I can see. Huh. It is not going to be on, unless some other video service puts it on there, but I'm looking at the weekend schedule right
what
now. They don't have it listed. They don't have it listed as far as the...
Austin, look up on Dirt Vision and see if they're going to be shown practice tonight. Because they might.
I doubt it, but I'll look it up.
They might. You never know. They have the broadcasting rights to the racetrack.
Yeah, but not to this
NASCAR.
Not to this event. FS1 has the broadcast
rights. I will not be surprised if Dirt Vision is showing the practice tonight.
No, they're not doing it.
They're not?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, looking at the weekend schedule, they just got everything on FS1 tomorrow night.
And they're not showing the race tomorrow night either. So.
Now, the practice is at 7:05. Or 6:05 Central Time, 8:02 Central. I don't know why they had down to the 2 minutes. But let's just call it 6 and 8 o'clock tonight at Knoxville. And then everything tomorrow on FS1. And that will be qualifying at 6 and the racing at 8 o'clock. And Motor Racing Network has live audio, FS1 live video.
SRX at Flight 5. Flags Speedway versus trucks at Knoxville Saturday night. What would you rather watch, the trucks or SRX?
I'll watch the truck race just because it's Knoxville. If it wasn't Knoxville, I would watch the XRS or XRX race.
Yeah.
Trucks for me, all the way.
Have we heard anything about, have has anybody heard anything about George Kosicki?
Kosicki?
Oh, what did I say?
Kosicki.
George Lasoski.
Lasoski.
What did I say? Kosicki. He had surgery yesterday.
Oh, my God. I'm slipping.
As far as
George
I know.
George Lasoski. How is he doing? Anybody heard?
Kosicki.
I was thinking about Joe Kosicki.
I assume everything went okay, but we'll try to find out.
You know, Joe's kid held pretty good with those super late models the other night up there on the quarter mile track at Belleville. Did you see that? He ran pretty good. What's his name?
Andrew Kosicki.
Andrew. Yeah, he ran pretty good with him, didn't you think?
Sure.
Didn't he crack the top five?
I think he did. I'd have to go back and take a look at the final results of that.
There's no updates on Brian's social media pages on George.
Yeah.
Well, we hope everything went well yesterday for George. We assume it did. And prayers to the Lasoski family.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
George is pulling through.
Kosicki. Boy, am I slipping. Austin, you're going to have to take over before too much longer, bud. You're just going to have to get in here and just host the show. All right.
Now, Brian Brown is not running the truck race this year. He did last year, if you remember. But
do you think that's more about George having his surgery?
I don't know.
Or just the opportunity wasn't there? Do we know?
I think the opportunity wasn't there. I think if he could have done it and had the opportunity presented, I think he would take it.
Wouldn't you think one of the lower buck teams would want him in there?
No.
Why?
Have you seen, I haven't seen anybody running the truck race this year be offered a ride. Westbrook bought his ride. There's probably a couple others.
What about Buddy Kofoid driving the Kyle Busch Motorsports truck tonight?
I'm not sure that Buddy bought that ride, or, you know, I bet you that was through Toyota. But
yeah, no,
I
mean, Toyota paid for that.
Anybody else, I wouldn't. I don't think they bought it.
Right.
No.
Dylan Westbrook in the Jordan Anderson number 3 truck at Knoxville. Pete wanted to chime that in there. Let me remind everybody, right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, they've got a great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It's going on right now. It's going to happen all the way through October 1st. Folks, this is a great tribute to a great racetrack that was in Southern California. You need to get out there and see it. They've got a bunch of cars in there that you can look at. They've also got T-shirts and videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot. And you can also buy some merchandise that says Ascot Park on it as well. That's all going on right now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And don't forget, tomorrow night during the truck race, if you'd like to sit on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and we've told you about it, you can bring your own food, you can bring your own beverage in, you can hang out there. It saves you a little bit of money. If you go over there and you buy a ticket over there on the grandstand side and you go down to the concession stand, you're going to spend a lot more money eating at the concession stand than you were if you went over there and sat on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Those seats are still available, and you can get those seats for $80 for the second floor. And Kirk, you've sat up there on the second floor, and you've watched the races up there. It's a fantastic view, isn't it?
It is. It's great view, and it's handy, restroom's not far away. It's a great view of the racetrack outside
and
turn 2.
And you can go down to the museum when there's a downtime and walk around and check out some of the stuff that's going on down there as well.
Yep, great place to be.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
It is a great place to be. And don't forget, they still have the IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. They're going to have the drawing for that car. That's only one of 1,000 of those cars made. On August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals, folks, I told you, this car, I saw one online. Bob said yesterday on the show that they had a charity auction at Barrett Jackson, and one of those cars went for $300,000. Now, just granted, that's a charity auction, so people spend a lot more money for charity, but I saw one in the paper for sale for $150,000. Wouldn't that be nice to win that car? That would be unbelievable if somebody could win that car. And they still have the 2022 XXX chassis 410 race car that's going to be auctioned off on December 16th. If you can't make it to the racetrack or if you can't make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always buy a raffle ticket at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And again, they're going to give that away on December 16th during the Knoxville National. Oh, no, that's after the Knoxville Nationals, December 16th. I wonder why they're doing it that way, just before Christmas.
Well, they always do it right at the end of the year, do they not? The raffle of the sprint car, that's just the way they've always done it.
Yeah. So anyway, when you go up there, make sure that you tell Bob Baker that you heard about all this on Mostly Motorsports with Austin and myself.
A couple of other drivers I'm taking a look at. We already mentioned Buddy Kofoid and Dylan Westbrook running this race up there tomorrow night. But the two other drivers that I'm looking at are a husband-wife. Stuart Friesen, who won a dirt race at Eldora here a few years ago, and his wife, Jessica, who is, she used to be a sprint car driver. I don't know if she still drives the sprint car sometimes, but she did pretty good there a time. She's had laps around Knoxville, so I'll be have my eye on those two, see how they do this weekend.
I'm texting Brown right now to find out how Grandpa is.
But it's hard to predict who's going to come out on top. Last year, Austin Hill was the winner, but he's running full-time in the Xfinity Series, so he's not even part of the field this time. Brett Moffitt, who is a former champion in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, will be in the event. He's running full-time in the Xfinity Series, but he's filling in for Austin Wayne Self tonight. So Brett Moffitt, who is from the Des Moines area, Grimes area, and he'll have a lot of hometown fans in the stands this weekend driving for AM Racing, the number 22 truck. So we'll see how Brett Moffitt does. He won two truck races up at Iowa Speedway here a few years ago, back to back.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do this weekend, Kirk? Are you going anywhere?
Haven't decided yet. I'm thinking about Knoxville, but I haven't made that final decision yet. So,
Austin, you're going to race down at Double X, right? 2,000 to win down there this weekend?
Yep.
I think I'm going to go down there and watch you race. That's what I'm going to do. That's the track I'm going to go
Double
to.
Double X Speedway.
Yeah, man.
Cool place, man.
It is a cool place, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's just a little country track, but it's got such a great atmosphere.
You need to get there early if you want a seat. That's been my experience at Double X. Those seats fill up fast. I don't think I've ever been down there where those stands haven't been filled.
Right.
But it's an old-style track. You go back long way at Double X Speedway.
You know how old it is? But how old school it is? There's no race receivers.
No race receivers?
They don't run any race receivers. It's hand scoring. Officials line you up. It's a show sometimes, but that's just how old school it is.
Wow. I didn't know that. They didn't have transponders down there. So they've never put in any loop in there.
Transponders or receivers. So no communication from the tower to us.
So it's really old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a fun place to go to. Carol Wirtz and the whole family down there welcome you when you show up.
Oh, yeah. They're good people.
It's a fun place to go.
US 36 canceled, Kirk. For the people that are our local racing crowd that's listening to the show right now, US 36 canceled tonight because of equipment issues, and they said that some of their staff is sick as well.
Yeah, not weather-related, the reason why they're not having races at US 36, but they'll be back in action next week.
Yeah. Austin, you looking forward to next weekend out at I-70 Speedway? Are you ready to go real fast?
I've already been real fast. Just other fast track, I guess. Ain't the fastest one I'll be on.
Why do you got to be like that? I've already been real fast. I've already been real fast. Just say, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's all I was asking for.
No.
It was a simple question. Were you looking forward to going fast at I-70 Speedway next week? You could have said,
you got to real shot at winning on Sunday night down at Double X, don't you?
Well, some of those guys that race down there weekly are pretty good, though, aren't they?
No, they're all good. We've outran them at, you know, ASCS races or anywhere else we go. It's just
right.
The deal about double X is you got to draw good.
You got to start towards the front.
They line you up heads up. So like when I drew for Jesse's race, I drew an 8, and that put me front row out of the second heat race because we had 3 heat races that night, and I won it. So it put me front row out of the feature. Well, the guy that won the first heat race was on the pole. Third heat race goes to third, and it's just on down the line. So, I mean, if I run fourth in the heat race and there's only 2 heat races, I'm going to be starting 8th. So you just got to be lucky when you roll in and just continue it throughout the night. It's just a different style of racing, and it's fun to kind of change it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
So if you win your heat race, you're starting on the front row of the A main, right?
Yeah, I mean, if there's 2 heat races, you know, the first heat race lines up the inside row. The second heat race lines up the outside row.
How many cars do you think they'll have down there for that race?
They had 13 last week. I know a couple of cars that will and will not be there this week. So,
you think 15, 16 maybe? You think a few other guys might show up? Maybe some ASCS guys that normally don't run down there weekly are going to show up because it pays $2,000 to win?
No.
You don't think
so? A lot of the teams that run with the Warrior Region don't like double X for some reason. Don't know why. They just don't like it.
I think, you know, it's kind of got a little bit of a reputation that you can tear your stuff up down there.
Yeah. Or they don't. Yeah, it's just, you know, team and driver preference, which is, you know, everybody has their own opinion sometimes. But, I mean, I know there's some teams that run with ASCS around here that you know, refuse to go, and some teams that are open to going. So, and it just kind of depends on what the schedule looks like for some teams, but I think it'll have 14 cars.
Yeah.
Just go down there
and also, I mean, you race on a Sunday night, and you got to get up and go to work, you know, Monday morning at 8, 7 o'clock, so that's not the easiest thing to do.
Right, yeah. Right.
Taylor Walton won down there last week, but right. Tyler Blank wins most of the time.
He wins a lot of races down there. He knows his way around that racetrack for sure.
We got a couple things up our sleeve for this week.
You're ready for them.
We're gonna try something different.
You're doing something different with the car this week.
Yes.
Oh. You're not going to tell us what it is?
I feel like Wayne Johnson right now. I can't tell you what I'm doing.
Can't tell you what I'm doing, but I'm doing something different.
No, if it works, I did it right.
Right?
If it doesn't,
then you stepped on your pee-pee.
I guess.
Right.
I'll go down trying, I guess.
You know what? You got to try, right? If you don't get out there and give it a whirl once in a while and try something a little bit different, you're not working hard enough. Would you agree with that, Austin?
Yeah, you're just content on where you're at. You don't want to get any better. We've struggled the first couple races this year, and we haven't got fast until we tried something different here the past couple weeks. And, you know, it's time we got to do something different. Everybody else is learning and moving on, and we're still sitting here where we were 2 years ago. So it's time to kind of get caught up with the times and try and, you know, get better for the future.
Hey, Todd, you look like you want to say something. What do you want to say, bud? Your boy's playing ball today, huh? Is he playing one or two games today?
Just one today.
3 o'clock, right?
Three o'clock here locally.
I think Kirk and I might run up there and see that.
It's real close off the highway.
Yeah, here. It's not far from here.
They built a real new facility up here called Creekside right here off, and put a hotel in the middle of that too. So,
oh, they did.
So that place is packed full of baseball. So if you come from out of town, let's say, and you have a tournament there all week,
you can just walk right over to the motel room and
you'll
take a break.
Drive, boy, I tell you, it'd make a lot of difference on your travel and you know, when you're there. And I'm sure the parents love having a pool right there by the place too. So yeah, it's something.
So this is like a state of the art complex.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice, man. It's from what I understand, George Brett's son was part. I don't know if he owns part of it or was part of the owner of it. He owns a few of these baseball.
How old is George Brett's kid?
Boy, they got to be old enough to be adults, like running. I know one of them runs the Brett Reed, or what is it? He's a real estate guy, so he was part of that deal.
You think they're in their 40s?
No, probably.
How old is George Brett?
60s, so.
George would be almost, 69 years old?
Yeah, his kids are probably in their 30s.
68, 9 years
20s,
old?
Late 20s.
How old is baseball player George Brett?
I'm going to say he's 69.
I'd say in his late 60s.
69.
Kirk knows that stuff.
How'd I know that?
So, yeah, it's been. Well,
we know George, don't we?
Yeah. Yep.
He was one of the.
George Brett wanted me one time to get in the sunglass business with him. Do you remember that, Kirk?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. He wanted me to help him with the motorsports division of his sunglasses.
How about did you ever get involved with the Bill Moss phone? No. Remember when he had the Bill Moss superphone?
I don't know if I want to get into anything with Bill Moss.
I know, but back, he had a superphone back in the day before cell phone companies that were.
He did?
Oh, yeah. It was It was funny. It was pretty pretty funny on dealing that. No, it's a hot one out there, guys. So if you are going to your local tracks, it's hot over the whole Midwest.
Yeah,
so
you gotta,
pound that water. If you're drinking beer tonight, guys, make sure you hit every once in a while.
Yeah.
Throw water in there. It ain't going to hurt anything. You're going right to the bathroom. It's coming right out anyway. But that water is going to help you out tremendously.
For sure.
And from being good dehydrated, because you don't want to get dehydrated out there.
Yeah, good point.
I'm looking forward to seeing Zach play baseball today. Hey, did you see the late model race at Davenport last night? Bobby Pierce looked like he was on his way to victory.
And with less than five laps to go, his drive shaft broke.
Chris Simpson.
Yeah.
He's an Iowan. Come through with a big win last night.
Yeah, that was a big one. 32 car. Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
That was good racing. The small track, the short track at Davenport.
But
they got
Iowa
two tracks. There's a big half mile and the 3/8. They raced on the short track.
You know,
last
Bobby
night.
Pierce ran third there for a while in that race. And I just knew that he was going to get around those top two and take the lead. For some reason, I just felt like that was going to happen.
Off the high side.
Right. Yeah.
He's a good driver,
man,
good wheel man.
He's unbelievable. One of the best, right? When you talk about late model drivers, who would you say are your top three?
You'd have to rate Jonathan Davenport number one right now, would you not?
I think you would. Austin, who would you throw in there?
As of this year?
Yeah.
I think Davenport would be up there.
Chris Madden.
I guess you could say Chris.
Brandon Overton?
And actually, I wouldn't say Overton. Overton hasn't had that good of a year. I mean, you could probably add
I'd
in.
I'd say Bobby Pierce would be the third guy for
what
me.
What about Brandon Shepherd?
Brandon Shepherd's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah. I think you can add in Devin Moran there, too. Maybe
Chris Ferguson, he's right up there right
Andy
now.
Ferguson?
Turbo, did you say Turbo?
No, I wouldn't say Turbo right now. Turbo hasn't really done much.
He hasn't done much lately, has he? Uh-uh.
Tim McCready?
No, I wouldn't put Tim McCready in the top four or five. I don't think so. I mean, even though he had a great run at Eldora during the million, it looked like he might go on to win that money. But Ryan Ragland says Davenport, Madden, Shepherd.
Yeah, I would go along with that.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good with that, too. All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in to the show today. We appreciate it. It happens every day, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll continue to come back and watch the show. It's a little bit different of a show. We just kind of, you know, we don't. Here's the thing about this show. You know, if you watch other shows, they're structured, right? They've got a path they want to go down, and they've got it all prepared and how they're going to do it and what they're going to do in each segment and whatnot. This show's not like any of those other shows. We don't write down a lot of notes. I write notes down from the races from the night before, but that's about it. When we go on air, Austin and Kirk and I never talk about what we're going to talk about. We don't know what we're going to talk about till the lights come on and the cameras come on, and then we know what we're going to talk about from that point on. So that's what makes our show a little bit unique compared to other people's shows. It's not a structured show. We just sit here and wing it, and we like for you to hang out and just shoot the bull with us as well. So we hope that you'll join us again next week, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Central Time, right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, we're going to be doing Track Talk on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's the largest all-sports radio station in the country. Kirk and I have been doing the show there for 22 years together, and we hope that you'll join us tomorrow. That's at 8 o'clock Central Time, right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. You can watch it on Facebook. You can watch it on YouTube, Twitter, and RacingBoys.com. For Austin O'Neill, for Todd Surprise, for my partner, Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying we'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Central Time. It's called Track Talk, and we hope that you'll join us. We'll see you then.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.